Please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3 this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Here we are in the new year of 2009. With it comes new calendars, new diaries, and new beginnings. I do know that one day just follows another, but January, the new year, is often accompanied, isn't it, by dreams and hopes, and by some people predictions, and by others simply their new year resolutions. The new year. As Christians, perhaps we resolve to have better habits in our daily walk, in our attendance at church. We long to grow in our love for God and the Lord Jesus Christ, love for his word and love for his people. Perhaps these things are very much on our hearts and minds as we face a new year. We long, in a sense, to have a more worthy walk this year than we did last year. And it is a time when we can take stock, a time when we praise him for all that's past and trust him for all that's to come. And so for some of us, it's a time of many questions. Who knows what tomorrow brings? But we don't know, but perhaps sometimes we try and second guess in the early days of the new year. What will 2009 hold for us? What will it hold for you? What does this year hold in terms of health or bereavement, of happiness, of sadness? What's it going to hold by way of joy and sorrow? What's it going to hold by way of the impact of the credit crunch? What's it going to hold for you at school or college or university? Where might you be at the end of the year? What does 2009 hold for you in terms of friendships or love? How will the year pan out? The more thoughtful Christian might have the question, what is God's will for me in 2009? What is the will of the living God for you, for me, for us in 2009? Well, James gives us a warning about boasting about tomorrow. We ought to heed that warning at the beginning of a new year. He says to us in James chapter 4 and verse 13, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil." What we should say is, if it is the Lord's will. There's a danger of planning without reference to God, a danger of planning without any acknowledgement of God. It's the writer of the Proverbs who says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." Whatever plans we might make in our hearts this year, it is the Lord who determines our steps. Nevertheless, I do want to ask and answer, at least in part this morning, the question, what is God's will for us in 2009? What is God's will for us in the year 2009? And I'm able to answer simply by looking at the next verse in our series on 1 Thessalonians. For we simply read there, it is God's will that you should be, and let's just leave it there for now. It is God's will that you should be. Paul was making it very clear to these Thessalonians what the will of God was for them. He goes on to speak about them being sanctified. He goes on to talk about that they should avoid sexual immorality. But I want you to notice it's a very plain statement. And that's all we're going to look at the first part this morning, where we read plainly in black and white, it is God's will that you should be. And then it says sanctified. At the outset of 2009, I want very simply this morning to encourage you to make it your main business this year to know God's will. That's all I'm going to appeal to you to do this morning from this verse, to make it the main business of your life this year to know God's will. And in doing that, I'm really doing what the Apostle Paul prays elsewhere for the church at Colossae. He never met the people there, but he said, "Ever since I've heard about you, I've not stopped praying that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will." I want to encourage you. Maybe you've made some Christian New Year resolution this year. But I want to just encourage you and engage your heart and your mind this morning to give yourself to knowing God's will this year. To know what it is for you and to live accordingly. Paul says here in a very plain statement, for this is the will of God. It is God's will that you should be. So if it's that plain, then let's give ourselves to knowing the will of God this year. Now, the Bible's main emphasis when it speaks about the will of God is in a way which we're going to look at in this second point this morning. The Bible speaks about the will of God on many different levels. Here it speaks about God's will in this third verse. God has a will. God has pre-designed purposes which he will carry through. And that's good for us to begin the year lifting our eyes off of ourselves and our resolutions to God. God is going to work out his purposes in the coming year. He declares in his word, what I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. It's the will of God. And that will is his intent and his purpose as revealed in the scripture. In the year 2009, God continues to work out his glorious purposes. In fact, in the opening chapter of Ephesians, Paul says that God works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. So God's will should be very important to us this year. We need to know it. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The will of God be done. So that should concern us this year. We should be concerned to see God's will done amongst us. I wanted to encourage you this morning to make it the main business of your year to know the will of God. The psalmist said in words later taken up by Jesus, I desire to do your will, O my God. So that could be a text for us this year, couldn't it? That each one of us could say, Lord, this year I desire to do your will. In Psalm 143 in verse 10, the psalmist says, teach me to do your will. What was the concern of the psalmist? His concern was with the will of God, and that he himself would be taught to do it. We know this year that a sparrow won't fall from a tree apart from the will of God. And so this morning, our first sermon of the new year, our first message, we're concerned with the will of God and knowing it this year. Do you realise you can know the will of God? There are aspects of his will which are hidden. There's not a mark on everybody's forehead who's going to be saved. Election, in a sense, is hidden. We don't know who he will save. It's hidden. The secret things belong to God. But when the Bible speaks about God's will, largely the emphasis is on what he has made known to us about that will. And that should thrill us this morning. God has made known his will to us, as we'll see in a few moments, here in the Word. And so our preoccupation, our concern, our desire, our thoughts should be with the revealed will of God. Paul prayed for that church in Colossae that they would be filled with a knowledge of the will of God. So this year, are you prepared to humble yourself? To admit that some of your New Year's resolutions are actually probably wrong. And to give yourself wholeheartedly this year to knowing the will of God, by which I mean largely the will which he has revealed to us. So that in this coming year, that which would extend through us and through the whole of our lives and every situation and every day, that which would influence moment by moment would be his predetermined purpose to save and to sanctify. That glorious truth that God has made known to us would be the thing which dominates and governs our lives. Can I encourage you this year to be filled with a knowledge of God's will? And by that I don't mean the smaller, not to be despised matters of which house to buy or which course am I to study or which road am I to take. But I'm talking about us giving ourselves heart and soul to the revealed will of God for the lives of his people. It is God's will that you should be, in this case, sanctified. Are you prepared to humble yourself this year, to make it the main business of your life, to be filled with a knowledge of God's will, by which I mean the will which he has revealed to us? I mean, we're playing daft, aren't we, to give ourselves to anything else this year. When God has made his will known to us, his people should be hungry and thirsty to know what it is and to put it into practice. He has a will for us. And that should thrill our hearts. Very simply, thirdly, the revealed will of God is to be found in the Word of God. Where do we find God's revealed will for his people? We find it here in his Word. Here Paul is making one aspect of God's will known. It's a major one. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. But notice he does that in the context of speaking about the instructions and the teaching that he's already given to this church. He's already taught them the truth of God, the apostles' doctrine. And that's where we today have the revealed word of God written down for us. In chapter 4 and verse 1 he says, we instructed you how to live. It's here, plain in black and white for us. God instructs his people how to live. Where? Very simple, in his word. In verse 2 he says, you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The words which are written down here have all the authority of God because they are the inspired word of the living God. And in them we have his will revealed to us. That's why the book is so precious to us. Let's give ourselves this year to the will of God as he's revealed it to us in his precious word. In verse 6... Paul says, the Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we've already told you and warned you. He went and taught them the truth. He warned them the truth. And in verse 8 he talks about those who reject this instruction. The instruction which the apostles gave was the truth from the living God. I wonder if you have an appetite and a thrill in your heart this morning that the living God has made his will known to you and has made it known to you here in his word. So I'm asking you to give yourself this year to knowing God's will. To knowing God's will in terms of his revealed will and to knowing his revealed will which is written for us here in his word. I'm encouraging you to read the Bible. It's not rocket science today, but it's yet despised even in evangelical circles, in Bible-believing circles. To have an appetite to read God's word has been lost. And I want to encourage you. Maybe you've made a drab start already to your Bible readings this year. Well, here's a fresh encouragement to you. Because God has gloriously made known his will to us here in his word. It is God's will that you should be, and we could end that sentence in a number of different ways from all over the Bible, but it is from all over the Bible that we could finish it, because it's here that God has made known to us his will. And as it's so plain, as it's so simple, I just want to encourage you to be an eager and a serious reader of God's word. It doesn't matter what academic background we have. It doesn't matter how old we are. We can all be students of the word of God. We're not looking to produce clever people, academic people, but we're looking to see people who know and love their God and grow in their knowledge of their God and grow in their love for God. And here's one glorious means of grace by which we can do that. simply by reading the revealed will of God to us. In 1526, William Tyndale saw his English New Testament began to be distributed throughout the country. His concern and his belief was simply this, that the ploughboy, the least educated, the lowest, the humblest, could know more of the scriptures than the grand theologian. And so Tyndale worked to get the scriptures into the hands of the last and the least and the lost. And there's no excuse for any of us. There's so many Bibles available for us to read God's word and thereby to know what his will is. I'm not wanting to encourage legalism here this morning. I'm not saying every good Christian reads the Bible through every year. Not saying that at all. But there are lots of different aids and plans and programs which can help us at the start of this new year to read God's word that we might know what his will is. It's a means of grace. And I want to encourage you this morning, it is God's will. What is God's will? Well, we can find out simply by reading the word of God. In our prayer meeting this morning, we began with the very first psalm. And we read there, don't we, of two ways to live. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of mockers. Well, what's this man like then? If he doesn't do these things, what does he do? Well, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight, notice, not his duty. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. When we read Psalm 119, the number of times we read, the psalm is saying that his delight was in what? The law of the Lord, the revealed will of God. We read of Ezra in the Old Testament that he devoted himself to something. We can devote ourselves to something this year. What did Ezra devote himself to? He devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, and in his case to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. Every one of us can devote ourselves to the study and observance of God's word. When Moses dies and Joshua is to lead the people into the promised land, what do we read there? What does God bring to his attention? God simply says to Joshua, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. That was a new beginning for Joshua. And in the place of that new beginning, his attention was drawn to the book of the law, which wasn't to depart from his mouth. It's in the Bible that God reveals his will for us. And so I want to encourage you this year to set yourself to know the will of the living God. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And that's what the Bible gloriously is. It has come from the mouth of the Lord. When our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted by the evil one, three times he replied, "It is written. It is written. It is written." Christ knew that it wasn't the will of the Lord for him to turn the stones to bread, or for him to throw himself down, or for him to bow down and worship the devil. On each occasion he backed up his arguments, as it were, or he used the foundation for what he was going to say to the devil. The word of God, it's written, it's written, it's written. This is the will of God. And we can be those too who know the will of God. And we know it by reading his word. The Bible speaks of God's will. It speaks of it in terms of what is revealed to us. And I want to encourage you to have an appetite this year to simply read and study the Word of God every day. You see, knowing his will is part of pleasing him. And surely we have a hunger and desire this morning to be those who are going to please our God in the coming year. Paul says here at the beginning of the chapter, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. If we're going to be those who please God, then we need to know his will and put it into practice. So knowing his will is part of pleasing him. Because the word of God instructs us how to live. And remember, Paul was encouraging the Thessalonians to excel in the way in which they were living. Knowing the will of God is part of pleasing him. Knowing the will of God is part of knowing him. And being increasingly set apart for him. We see here, don't we, particularly, and we'll see this next week, that we're to avoid sexual immorality. There's certain things, very specific, very detailed instruction is given to us on how we are to live our lives, and it's all part of knowing and loving him. And so the Bible's not to be that daily duty only. It's not an end in itself. It's a means by which we come to know and love our God. And isn't part of our problem as we face a new year that we're pygmies when it comes to our knowledge and understanding of God? That something, the greatness of God needs to be restored in our lives. And one way to do that is to be regular, eager students, readers of God's Word. So all I'm encouraging you this morning is to make it the main business of your year, part of your life this year, to know God's revealed will, which you will find in the scriptures, which are the very words from his mouth, and finding this will is part of excelling in pleasing and knowing him. You'll never be governed by something that you don't read. You might only just have a mere passing acquaintance with it. It will never govern you as it should. You will never please him as you could unless you're an eager and serious student of the Word of God where he reveals his will to us. So open it. If you need help in what to read this year, come and ask. If there's a help or a plan or a program that you might benefit from, come and ask. But simply open the book and become familiar with the revealed will of God. Fourthly, notice that the revealed will of God, which is found in the scriptures, concerns itself, would you believe, with how a Christian is to live and behave. It's exactly how Paul begins this chapter. We instructed you how to live in order to please God. He's not talking here about how he's instructed them how to be saved. Once they are saved, he goes on to instruct them how they are to live in order to please God. And that is vital for us this year. The Bible is a revelation of God. It's largely instruction to believers. We are instructed how to be saved, as we mentioned earlier on. We are to repent and to believe. But there is vast instruction on how believers are to live. And I put it to you this morning, that's vital, because we seem to have just reduced Christianity to a conversion. We seem to have reduced Christianity to simply having our sins forgiven, and the Bible doesn't. Reducing Christianity merely to conversion or having our sins forgiven is a very self-centered way of looking at Christianity. It's a huge reduction of what it actually is. And therefore, as believers, we should be those who recognize our need of being familiar with the revealed will of God to us on how we should live. Now, one of the greatest errors of the last century and even before was the wrong view, which said to people, you know, you can take Jesus Christ as your Saviour, and later on in your life, well, you can make him your Lord. They separated him off, and they said, look, come and receive Jesus as Saviour. And he saves you from your sin, but then you live largely as you please until you condescend then to take him as Lord. And that was preached with great regularity throughout the world in the last century. Whereas the Bible declares that Jesus is Lord. And we're to submit to him wholly. Every every area of our lives, every member of our body, every relationship, every circumstance, we're to submit to Jesus Christ as Lord, because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But it seems to me that we haven't, in Bible-believing circles, passed unscathed through that error of Jesus as Saviour and then, if you like, as Lord, even if we ourselves have not directly received that teaching. It seems to me the church has become so self-centred and concerned with getting numbers in, which of course is wholly absent in the scriptures, that we've reduced the entrance requirements and minimised the nature of the new life. When we're converted, it's not only that we have our sins forgiven, it's not only that we have a new status, a changed status before God, but we have a changed nature. Regeneration is a new nature, a new heart, a new principle given to us. And that affects how we live. So our lives are to be lived radically different. And they don't seem to be so different today. You seem to get saved but live no differently. Or you get saved and then you tag a bit of religion on when you feel like it. And today's scandal is Christians without Christian minds and Christians without Christian living. Christians who are not thinking Christianly and not living Christianly. And we need to stand against this huge drift. And it's a huge need for us, which is have us on our knees reading the word of God that we might know what his revealed will is, because he instructs us how we live and how we are to behave. The surveys tell us that Christian viewing habits are largely no different from the world's. In preparing to preach on sexual immorality this morning, which I was for most of the week, I read that 75% in the United States of America, 75% of young Christian couples presenting themselves for marital counselling, premarital counselling, have engaged in premarital sexual intercourse. 75% of young Christian couples presenting themselves for marriage counselling. We need to be a people, God helping us, who are filled with a knowledge of his will. And his will affects all our attitudes and all our desires and our speaking. The key principle is that we live to please God, which is a radical motive, isn't it? Why are we living? We're living to please God. It's in a sense, it's flexible. It might mean this sometimes and that the other. But the overall aim is to please God. And it's progressive because we ought to be excelling in our pleasing of God. And it affects different areas of our lives. Paul here is going to speak about sexual immorality. He's then going to speak about work. He's then going to speak about bereavement. There is detailed moral instruction on how believers are to live. And we seem to so fear legalism today that we effectively tear up what is God's detailed instruction to us about our gossip, about our lying, about our adulterous thoughts. The teaching of God seems comprehensive and seemingly endless on how we are to live. How do you know how to live this year unless you're regularly reading the Word of God? Whose standards are you going to live by? Whose understanding are you going to live by? Here it says, it is God's will that you should be. God tells us what his will for us is. It's his will that we live in order to please him, and the Bible includes what we are to do and how we are to do it. In chapter 5 and verse 18, we recognise that it's the will of God that we give thanks in all circumstances. That's the will of God for us in 2009, that in all circumstances we give thanks. The Apostle Paul knew that God had a will for his life. There are some things about God's will that he didn't know about. There are other things that could not be clearer. And I want to say to you this morning, there are many things, sufficient things, that are absolutely clear for you and me, and we need to know them and we need to be governed by them. You wouldn't go out and murder somebody this year, would you? And say, well, that's the will of God. You know by that clear example. That's not right. But do you know the other things? Is the way in which you're spending your time, your attitudes, your desires, your actions, your thoughts, your words, are they according to the will of God? You see, we're very often concerned in an over-fussy, rather faithless way, aren't we, about wanting to know the hidden will of God in minutiae. But what is a telltale sign to us is when the revealed will of God isn't the dominating framework of our lives. Lord, I want to please you this year. I want to know how to please you. I want to grow in my knowledge of you. Lord, forgive me that I'm rather arrogant and proud when it comes to living my life, and I rarely sit humbly under your word and hear what you have to say to me. And when I think about it, Lord, it's shameful, really. Here is your revealed will to me in your word about how I am to live. And I show the state of my own heart because the dust is gathering on my Bible. Two things as we close. Here, more of this next week, Paul says it is God's will that you should be sanctified. God's will for you and for me this year is that we should be sanctified. That we should be, in our daily living, set apart exclusively for God. That's what he's done. He set us apart. He's done that. And he set us apart for himself. As chapter 4 and verse 7 says, he has called us to live a holy life. That's his calling. That this year we be holy. That's what Paul prayed for them at the end of chapter 13. That they would be blameless and holy in the presence of our God. If you, in considering the will of God for your life this year, have come up with anything other than being holy, then you're on thin ice. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Paul told the Ephesians, you were chosen in Christ. Why? To be holy and blameless in his sight. The bride of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be presented to him, a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. We have 12 months lying out ahead of us in which we are to be set apart for the exclusive use of God, to live pleasing him according to his word and his will. More on this next week, but not to let sin reign over us, but to offer the members of our body to God as instruments of righteousness, to live to please him according to his will and according to his word. I want to encourage you at the beginning of this new year to give yourself to knowing God's will. By which I mean knowing God's revealed will, as we find it here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. We find God's revealed will for us here in his word. We find that finding it and putting it into practice is a way of knowing him more and of pleasing him. And he does instruct us how to live. It's not a matter simply, well, now I'm a Christian, now I'm saved, I can go on living more or less as I want to with a bit of religion tagged on as well. No, no, no. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, set apart, every moment for him, every thought for him, every desire for him. He has saved us for himself. That's the way that we are to live. And our final point is that where the will of God is made known to us, there must be a putting of it into practice through obedience. That was a concern of the psalmist. Teach me, O God, to do your will. The psalmist wasn't so concerned with finding God's will. That had been made known perfectly plain to him. The psalmist's concern was with the performance of that will and the putting it into practice. Can I encourage you this morning maybe to undo some of your New Year's resolutions. And to start again and to start with God. And say, isn't it glorious that God has a will? In this year, he sits in heaven, he does as he pleases, he does everything according to the purpose of his will. And I'm not in the dark, because God has made it plain to me. And he's made it plain to me here in his word. And I want to know him more, and I want to please him more. And I recognise my need of knowing how to live this year very differently to how I lived last year. I want to be set apart this year more than I was last year. I want to be set apart this year as I should have been last year, as I could be this year. And I need to know what that's involved. Because there's so many pulls and so many pressures, as we'll see in the area of sexual immorality. So I need to know, how is it that I can avoid sexual immorality? What's the wisdom of God? What's the detailed instruction of God to me on that matter? And then of work, and then of bereavement, and then of loving the brothers and sisters. What's the detailed instruction of how to live? Thank you, God, it's here. And might I therefore give you your rightful place this year and sit humbly under your word and with your grace put it into practice, being governed by what you say. It is God's will that you should be in 2009, every month, every week, every day, every hour, sanctified, set apart for the glory of God. Well, may it be so in our lives. Can I encourage you to be an eager and a serious reader and student of God's word every day this year? I can promise you, you'll grow in your knowledge of him, and you'll grow too in the way in which you please him by how you live.